started. Okay, so the Mishnayos and Maseches Megillah, the way that Rebbe was inside of them is that first the Mishnayos talk about the mitzvah of Megillah, and then they transition to the last Prakim talk about Kedusha's basic Nesus basic Medrash. And the question is, what's the connection between Maseches Megillah, Purim, and Kedusha's basic Medrash that Rebbe ordered the Mishnayos in that order? But this is not the only question we have on Rebbe. There's a much more fundamental question we can ask on a Maisa and Rebbe in the Gemara Megillah. Because what does the Gemara teach on that? Hey, Rebbe was Notar, Natiya, Rebbe planted a tree on Purim. Oh, Rebbe planted a tree on Purim? Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, the God of Adar? Or can you imagine, like, Rav Chaim Kineski planting, spending his time planting trees on Purim? Like, what was Rebbe Yehuda Nasi doing? Rebbe Yehuda Nasi planted a tree? So what's pshat in the fact that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi planted a tree on Purim? So I heard pshat once in the name of Rabbi Eitan Feiner's brother. So he said like this: the Torah in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes teaches that what's the bracha we make after Kriyas HaTorah? Asher nosan lanu Torahs emes v'chayi olam nata b'socheinu. So comes the Torah and says, Asher nosan lanu Torahs emes. That's Torah Shavaksav v'chayi olam nata b'socheinu. Torah Shavapet. So we see that the language of Natiya, of planting, that the Chai Olam, not the Pesachainu, refers to Torah Shema Peh. And therefore, based on that, you want to explain that's what Rebbe was doing. Rebbe, not the Natiya on Purim. What was Rebbe doing? Rebbe was planting the Torah Shema Peh within the Jewish people on Purim. And that's what the Mishnayos really are. The Mishnayos are really the seeds for the Torah Shema Peh to subsequently come. The Mishnayos lay the groundwork for the rest of the Torah Shema Peh. And therefore, in that sense, the Mishnayos can be viewed, and what Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's Avoda can be viewed as a Natiya. And my brother also pointed out that the Mishnayos start with Maseder Zrayim. Maseder Zrayim is about planting. So this Rebbe, not the Natiya of Purim, what Rebbe was doing, he's alluding to something much greater. Rebbe was alluding to the fact that he's planting a future for the Jewish people. He was planting the Mishnayos and all the subsequent Torah Shavuot Peh that's going to come. Well, let's try to fully understand, though, this idea that Purim in the connection between Torah Shavuot Peh, because the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Peches, teaches that Kimu v'Kiblu, that Klal Yisrael in the times of Achashverosh, we re-accepted upon ourselves the Torah. And based off the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Noach, the Mefarshim point out that the Torah that we re-accepted upon ourselves in Purim was the Torah Shavuot Peh. So let's try to understand, why is it that on Purim we need to be mekabel upon ourselves the Torah Shavuot Peh? So Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains that there are two Yom Tovim in Tanakh that are associated with Geula. What are they? Purim and Pesach. Now, what was the purpose of Pesach? Comes Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then we have 49 days of Siras HaOmer, and that all leads up to the Kabbalah's Torah Shavuksav, to Shavuos. And comes Purim, and comes the Nes of Purim, the Gula of Purim from saving from Haman. What does that lead up to? The Kabbalah's Torah Shavuot Peh. So the purpose of Gula was to be Mekabel the Torah. We'll try to understand, flush out this point, that the purpose of Gula is really to be Mekabel the Torah. So the Arizal teaches that Moshe Rabbeinu, a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu, was Mordechai. And for this reason, one of the rites they bring is that the Gemara in Chuli and Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, when it says Moshe mina Torah minayin and Esther mina Torah minayin and Mordechai mina Torah minayin and Haman mina Torah minayin, so everyone's bothered. Moshe mina Torah minayin. What does Moshe Rabbeinu have anything to do with Mordechai, Esther, and Haman? No, but according to Arizal, that Mordechai was a Gilgal of Moshe, it makes a lot of sense because Mordechai, in a certain sense, was continuing what Moshe represented. Let's try to understand this idea of Moshe, Mordechai being a Gilgal Moshe. So the same way Moshe in his door was leading Klal Yisrael to be Mekabel Torah Shavuksav, Mordechai in his door was leading Klal Yisrael in being Mekabel the Torah Shavuot Peh. And both Moshe and Mordechai are called Yehudi. Moshe, according to Gemara and Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, one of his name was Yehudi. And Mordechai Fu is also called Mordechai Yehudi. And the Maral explains it's the significance of the word Yehudi. You swap the Hei for Ches, and it really is meant to be read Yehudi. that yichud, that Moshe, a person who's Yehudi, as the Gemara explains, is someone who's koyfer by avodah zara and stands for yichud Hashem. So the common denominator between Moshe and Mordechai, the reason that they're both called Yehudi, is that they're both standing for the yichud Hashem. And one way that this expressed itself was that both before we were mekabel the Torah shebiksav, and both before we were mekabel the Torah shebalpeh, what had to be defeated? Amalek. That the Chumash records that Amalek attacks us specifically before Kabbalah's the Torah. And likewise in Sefer Esther, before we were able to kimu v'kiblu, we had to defeat Amalek. So let's try to flush this point out. What's the connection between Kabbalah's the Torah and defeating Amalek? So, what's Amalek all about? So, Svarim and different Lashonis explain that Amalek is about carry, random. The Maharal explains that Klal Yisrael is called Yisrael. Yisrael is from a Lashon of Yashar, straight. Whereas Amalek is called Amalek based off a Lashon of Uko, crooked. Because what's the difference between something straight and something crooked? Something crooked, everything's random. Everything's mikra. What's Yisrael, Yashar? Everything's straight, everything's connected. That despite the fact that things don't seem to make sense, but really there's a plan. And really think everything's ultimately connected. And likewise, what do we say during davening? L'dor v'dor nagigad lecha. What's l'dor v'dor? L'dor v'dor, that there's a connection between one door to another door. But when it comes to Malik, what does it say? The last pasuk in Parshas Vashalach, that ki ado kes ka, midor dor. Not dor vidor, midor dor. Why? Because when it comes to Amalek, there's no hemshech, there's no connection between doros. Everything is random, nothing's connected. So Amalek represents the ultimate pirud, as Rav Tzadok explains, nothing is connected. Whereas Klal Yisrael, we believe that everything's connected, everything has a hemshechios, that everything can be connected back, and everything has a future going forwards. So for this reason, Amalek had to be defeated before both the Kabbalah's Torah Shabiksav and Torah, and the Kabbalah's Torah Shabalpeh, because Amalek got away in the it was a threat to the Achdus of Klal Yisrael and to the Achdus of the Shem Hashem and the Achdus of Torah. And let's explain this point. What does the Zohar teach? Yisrael v'araisa v'kodesha brechu chadu, and as Nefesh Chaim explains at length, before we're able to mekabel the Torah shebiksav, we had to be perfect, and the way we are perfect is that Klal Yisrael had to be in a state of achdus, because Hashem is echad, and the Torah is something that's perfect as well, as Torah is something that's echad. And only when Klal Yisrael is in a state of perfection, when we're in a state of achdus, we're able to be mekabel the Torah shebiksav. And the same thing is true when it comes to Torah Shabbat. Only after Lech Knosis Kol Yehudim, when Klal Yisrael was united together, were we able to be Mekabel the Torah Shabbat. Because only in a state of Yisrael V'Arayis of Kodesh Brechu Chadu, only when Klal Yisrael is complete, when Hashem is complete, when the Torah is complete, that's when everything's able to come together. And Amalek represented the threat to that. Because Amalek, what they tried to do is they tried to break the axis of Klal Yisrael, tried to attack the rear, to make a period amongst us. They're also the ultimate antithesis to Hashem, to the Shem Hashem. That Shem Hashem couldn't be Echad as long as Amalek is around. So in order for us to receive the Torah, which is Echad, the Torah which is perfect, we are only able to do that when we defeated Amalek, in order that Klal Yisrael could achieve a state of Achdus, and that the Shem Hashem could be Echad. But let's explain this point a little bit further. What's the significance of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael? So people like to colloquially talk about Achdus, that everyone has to be united. But it has a much deeper meaning as well. Because the Ramchal explains, what's the most fundamental and accurate description that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That Hashem is Echad. Hashem is one. But if a person would say that Hashem is strong, in a certain sense, they're detracting from Hashem. Because Hashem is all-encompassing. And how do we describe the all-encompassing nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that's when we say that Hashem is Echad. So if that's the case, so as the Sforno, And as the Baal HaTanya and many other Svarim point out, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence reflected in this world when the Jewish people keep Torah mitzvos? Hashem's presence shines in this world and is felt. So if the most fundamental description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most accurate description of Hashem, is that Hashem is Echad, then what's the best description, what's the most fundamental reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Bria? When Klal Yisrael is in a state of Achdus. So the significance of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael is not only from a Bin Adam L'Chaveh, the Chibur amongst Klal Yisrael themselves, but when the Jewish people are united together, we're the most accurate and most fundamental reflection of Hashem's existence in this Bria. And for that reason, we were mekabel the Torah, with the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah Shebiksav, we had to be in a state of Achdus. And we find this idea of Achdus, of Purim, throughout all the different Dalad Mitzvahs Hayom. That the purpose of the Dalad Mitzvahs Hayom of Purim were meant to bring us to a state of Achdus. And let's explain. What's the four mitzvahs of Purim? So first we have Mishloach Manos. What's Mishloach Manos all about? So the Pasuk even says, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eu. It's about creating Reus. As Rav Lopiansky likes to explain, why is it that we call it Mishloach Manos? Logically, what should we call it? Mishloach Ma'achalim. What's the lashon of a mana, a portion? No, because when you give Mishloach Manos to another Jew, what are you telling them? That you also have a portion in the Jewish people. So the purpose of Mishloach Manos is not only about giving physical food to a person, but it's conveying to them a much deeper message. That you also have a chelik, you also have a mana amongst the Am Hashem. And likewise, when it comes to Matan Siyav Yonim, what's the purpose of Matan Siyav Yonim? If it was a mere mitzvah tzedakah, so we should call it tzedakah Siyav Yonim. Why Matan Siyav Yonim? What does the word matana convey? The word matana means a gift, and when a person gives a gift to someone else, the purpose of that gift is also to engender a relationship between them and the recipient. So when we give Matan Siyav Yonim and Purim, the purpose of the Matan Siyav Yonim is also meant to create a relationship in Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. And likewise, when it comes to the mitzvah of Megillah, where are we supposed to read the Megillah? B'tzibor, b'persumi nisa, because the Jewish people are supposed to do the mitzvah united together as one. And likewise, the mitzvah of Suda has a suda all about Achdus. So the Pasuk says that they would do the Yomim Me'il and Yizkar Minasim b'chol Dar v'dar, v'chol, medina medina, v'chol, mishpacha mishpacha. So what does Rashi there say? V'chol mishpacha mishpacha. That the different mishpachas would gather together, that every single mishpacha would gather to eat and drink together. And we see nowadays that people, when they eat the Seudas Purim, they don't just do it by themselves, they do it together. Because the Seudas Purim is also about creating a sense of achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. And as the Ramchal teaches in Derech Hashem, the Jewish calendar is not just a linear, it's not just a linear trajectory, but it's also a circle as well. In the same way that the purpose of the original poem was about creating the Achdus of Klal Yisrael in order to be able to be mekabel upon ourselves the Torah Shebaal Peh, so to every single year on Purim, there's a certain Kedusha, a certain Ha'ara of that original poem, and we're supposed to be me'achid ourselves together, that there's supposed to be the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, in order that we can accept upon ourselves in every single year the Torah Shebaal Peh. So now let's try to explain the connection between the Torah Shebaal Peh and Purim. Why is it that Purim needed to be the yontif of the Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh? So what Purim really represented is that Purim now embarking on a new chapter of our existence. That as opposed to before Purim, when the avoda of the Jewish people was centered around the Mikdash, Purim now was a time when there wasn't going to be any more Mikdash. And even though we rebuilt the Bayit Mikdash Sheni, the Gemara in Yom Daf Rav Aleph teaches that there are five differences between the Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni, and we don't find the same level as Shash Sashchina and certainly Nevuah in Bayit Sheni as in Bayit Rishon. In Klal Yisrael, in the times of Purim, now we're transitioning from being a religion centered on the Mikdash to now being a religion not centered around the Mikdash. And the question is, in what sense, how are we supposed to perceive this transition? And this transition came about through two vehicles. It came about both through the Purim story and also through the Kabbalah's Torah Sheba'al Peh. And what the Kabbalah purpose of the Purim story and both the Kabbalah's Torah Sheba'al Peh were meant was to show the Jewish people that despite the fact that we don't have a Mikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. And let's explain, let's flush these points out. So the Vilna Gaon explains that the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Ches teaches Esther mina Torah minayin Anochi Haster Aster Pane B'yom Ahu. So the Gra explains that what's the Gemara really asking? The Gemara is really asking, how do we know that even in the time when Hashem is Beseser, that Hashem is still going to do miracles for the Jewish people and there's no Mikdash, and that Hashem still loves us? So that's when the Torah is telling us, Anochi has to ask the Panei B'yom Ahu, that Hashem still loves us and still wants to have a relationship with us. So therefore, the purpose of the miracles of Purim, explains the Gra, is to tell the Jewish people that Hashem still loves them, despite the fact that he's acting to us in a way of Hester. And to further understand this point, we'll have to understand what the Mikdash is really all about in order to understand the significance now that we're transitioning from a time period of a Mikdash to a post-Mikdash period. So Rav Lopiansky explains that the Rambam, what does he call the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash? He doesn't call it Hilchos Beis HaMikdash. He calls it Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira? Why? What's that all about? Because the deepest expression of Hashem, the reason why he wants a Mikdash is to show his deep love for the Jewish people. And the way that's reflected is in the Mikdash, in the Beis HaBechira. That it's an avosh in a tliya b'davar. It's not that Hashem needs a Mikdash for any specific reason. It's the same way, l'mashal ma davar doma, right? You'd ask a mother, why is it that she cares and loves her child so much? And if you push and you push and you push, at the end of the day, all she's going to be able to say is just because it's something inherent to who she is, that the child is such a part of her that she loves, that's why she loves him so much. The same thing is true when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. That the reason why Hashem wants a Mikdash is because he wants a relationship with us, because he just loves us so much. So that's what the Mikdash is all about. The Mikdash is called the Beis HaBechira, according to the Rambam, because it's depicting the fact that the purpose of the Mikdash was that it showed that Hashem was Boicher in us, that Hashem chose us. And as Rav Wiederbank pointed out, the reverse is also true, that not only was the Mikdash the place where Hashem chose us, but it was also the place that showed our Cheshek, our Watson for Him. It was the place of the Korbanos. And what are the Korbanos all about? Us being completely mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mikdash was a reflection of a symbiotic relationship between us and Hashem, the ultimate Ahava and Chibur that existed between us and the Jewish people. And now comes Purim, and we have no more Mikdash. So what was going to be indicative of that Chibur that existed between the Jewish people and us and Hashem? So that's when Hashem did the Purim story, because the miracles of Purim were to remind us that despite the fact that we're entering into Galus, that Hashem is still with us, and that Hashem still wants the Ava, still wants the Chibur between us and Him. But there's a much deeper point here, and that is that we were also mekabel the Torah Sheba'al Peh on Purim. Because the purpose of the Torah Sheba'al Peh was to show the ultimate Ava that exists between the Jewish people in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for not only the Medrash Tanchuma at the end of Parshas Noach teaches that how is a person able to learn Torah Sheba'al Peh? Only through V'yahavtos Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nashecha b'madecha. Only the person who's suffused and completely infused with Avas Hashem, only they are able to learn the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So what does the Gemara Masechta Shabbos say on Peiches? That we re-accepted upon ourselves the Torah in the times of Achashverosh. Was Rashi explained why we re-accept upon ourselves the Torah in the times of Achashverosh? What does Rashi say? Mi avos hanes, from the love of the miracle. From the avos hanes, from the love that we had to Hashem because of the miracle, now we were able to accept the Pine of Sols, be Ava, the Torah Shabbat Peh. Because that's what the Torah Shabbat Peh ultimately is. The Torah Shabbat Peh is the ultimate chibur between us and Hashem. It's reflective of the love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. So, for example, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach teaches that that the Torah Shabbat Peh was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to be Karius Bris with us. Because what's a Bris all about? The Sefer Ikrim explains that a Bris is indicative about the Ava that exists between two parties. So specifically, the Torah Shabbat Peh was the Torah that was given over to create the Bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Torah Shabbat Peh showed the Ava that exists between us and Hashem. And you could say further, based off the Ksosis HaKdama to the Shmaisa, what does the Ksos say? The Ksos cites the Zohar HaKadosh that teaches that whoever is mechadish achidushei Torah becomes a shutof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Breishis. That a person, when he has a chiddush, he becomes a partner of Hashem creation. The Zohar Ksos explains why. Because do we really have any shaykhus to the Torah? The Torah is something from way above us. It's something from it's Chachmas Elokis. But Hashem, with his ultimate love, in a certain sense, the Lord, he gave us a chelik of himself, kaviyachol. That we're also able to delve into Torah and to be mechadish Torah, and whereby being mechadish Torah, we're becoming shutfin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maaseh Breishis. So therefore, from Hashem's great Ava to the Jewish people, He gave us access to the ultimate Chachma and allowed us to become partners of Him in Torah. So that's why, after Purim, after the destruction of the Beit, after the Mikdash, now our relationship with Hashem wasn't going to be depicted, it wasn't going to be through the Mikdash, it was going to be through the Torah Shabbat Peh. Because the Torah Shabbat Peh was going to light up the Jewish people through Galus. And the Sasamis explains, the Gemara in Maseches Megillah teaches, Lahudim ha'isa'ora v'simcha, sasam v'yikar, so Chazal darshin, Torah, ora zitorah. So Sasamis is bavard. If Orah is the Torah, so why did the Pasuk just say, Lahudim Haisa Torah? Why did the Pasuk say, Lahudim Haisa Orah? No, the Sasan explains that's the point. Because the Jewish people, they perceived Torah as Orah. That the Jewish people understood that after the Mikdash, they weren't going to have a Navi telling them what to do. There wasn't going to be a Choshen. There wasn't going to be an Urim Batumim. No, the way we are going to light up the Jewish people through the Galus, the way we are going to determine what's right and wrong, it's through Torah, through the Orah. The Torah was going to be the Orah for the Jewish people in Galus. So on Purim, we are mekabel the Torah Shabbat Peh, because the Purim, we are mekabel the Torah Shabbat Peh, because the Torah Shabbat Peh was now the new binding agent between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the way that was reflected in Purim was through Megillas Esther. Because what Megillas Esther is the combination of both the Torah Shabbat Ksav in the Torah Shabbat Peh. It's called a Sefer, but on the other hand, it's also called a Nigeris. Torah Shabbat Ksav, it's all about the open miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Torah Shabbat Peh all about? It's not about the open miracles. And that's why Megillas Esther, on one hand, it's a Nes, but it's also, it's Nigla. It's Nister, which is Torah Shabbat Ksav, Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh is something Nister. And what's the meaning of an igaris? So the word igaris, as Rav Lopiansky likes to explain, derives from the word agur, to gather in. And when a person writes a letter to someone else, what are you doing? You're showing a certain connection that you have to them, that there's a certain, the concept of being igarishim, you can't read someone else's mail. Because letters convey a certain affection that the writer has to the recipient. So what were Mordechai and Esther doing? They sent an igaris to every single Jew, that they have to be augur, they have to take this message in, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us in Galus, that despite the fact that there's not going to be a Mikdash anymore, but don't worry, because now we have the Torah Shabbat Peh, and the Torah Shabbat Peh is what's going to keep the Jewish people going for Galus. And now, with this, I think we can come back to the point that we started out with. That why is it that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi started Maseches Megillah with the Dinim of Purim and transitioned to the Dinim of Kedushas, Basic Nesses, Basin Medrash? For exactly this point. because Purim marked the time when we were transitioning from the Beis HaMikdash to the Mikdash Me'at. The Gemara Megillah Daf Kaf Tes teaches that the Mikdash Me'at are the Bate Knesios and the Bate Midrashos. That as opposed to the Mikdash, when the Avodah is centered around the Korbanos, now the way we're going to show our Cheshek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through both Torah and through Tefillah. Right? As the Sifri teaches, Ezei Avodah, so the Sifri says the Mikdash, but also Torah and Tefillah. So through the new Bate Knesios, through the new Tzira of Avodah, through Tefillah, that was one way we're going to show our Cheshek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the other way we're going to show our Cheshek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through the Amelus and Torah Sheva Peh. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi starts the Mishnayos and Megillah with the Mitzvahs of Purim, the transition into basic Knesset, basic Medrash, because Purim marked the time when Klal Yisrael was transitioning from the Kedusha of the Mikdash to now the Kedusha of the Mikdash in the Bate Knesset and Bate Midrashos, because the base Medrash is Miyuchad, is designated for the Limud of Torah Sheva Peh. Because the Limud of Torah Sheva Peh now was going to be the avoda of Klal Yisrael. And now, I think we can put everything together and understand what Purim is really all about. Because what Purim is really all about is internalizing that Kabbalah's Torah Sheva Peh, and that's the real Chaye Olam Nata B'Sochenu. We started out from the Torah. Chaye Olam Nata B'Sochenu, that's a reference to Torah Sheva Peh. What's Chai Olam? It means something eternal. The Yerushalmi teaches that the Chamish Chumshe Torah in the Torah Sheva Peh are something eternal. The Torah Sheva Peh, the Halichus Olam Lo, that the Halacha, the Amelus with Torah that a person does, that remains something forever. The miracles that exist in Torah Sheva Ksav, so in the future, Lasid Lavo, they're going to be eclipsed by what's going to occur in times of Mashiach. So that's not going to remain. But the amelus b'torah that person puts in, the halichos olam lo, that remains, that's never going to be bato. So that's the idea. Chaye olam, not to besochenu. Chaye olam, it's a reference to Torah Sheva Peh, because that's not something that's going to be negated. But furthermore, chaye olam, not to besochenu, what's netiyah? What's the significance of planting something? When you plant something, you can't just plant it. No, you have to continue working on it. When a person plants a tree, it's not just enough to put the seeds in the ground, but you have to water it and make it grow. And the same thing is true when it comes to the Limud HaTorah Sheva Peh. It's not just enough to be mekabel it, but you have to constantly work at it. Chai ol nota b'sochenu. Torah Sheva Peh is in the tiyo, because we need to continue to be omel in Torah in order to be mamshech the Torah even more. And that is what brings about the true simcha. Because as the Maharal and many others explain, the Mikdash was the makom when we're most able to connect to Hashem. And simcha is kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nowadays when we have no Mikdash, the kirva that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Torah. Through the amelus b'Torah, where a person really is happy in, is when they work hard and they achieve results. So the Amelus B'Torah Sheva Peh, the Amelus B'Torah, that is now going to be the new Simcha of Klal Yisrael. So as opposed to in the Zman of the Mikdash, when the Simcha of Klal Yisrael is just felt by being in the Mikdash, now we're transitioning to a time period where the Simcha of Klal Yisrael was going, the Kirva of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come through the Amelus in Limud HaTorah Sheva Peh and through the Kirva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tefillah. In Purim, which is a Zman of both Tefillah, right? Again, not for this year, but this Purim is a Zman of much Tefillah, and it's a Zman of the Kabbalah's Torah Sheva Peh. Purim marked this transition period where we're transitioning to a Zman, a new era, where the Jewish people weren't going to be centered around the Mikdash, we're going to be centered around Tefillah, and we're going to be centered around the Limud Torah Sheva Peh. So, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, Purim, as the Ramchal teaches, that every single Purim is a Ha'ara of the original Purim, that this Purim, we should be mekabel upon ourselves the Torah Sheva Peh again, and realize that Chaye Olam Nata B'Sochenu, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to literally be planted in Chai Olam, and the only way that we're able to do it is that we continue growing and growing. That Hashem planted it, He gave us the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh, but only if we continue growing the rest of the year is it going to be something that is Kayim. So this Simcha of Purim, it's not just about the whole, the purpose of the drinking and everything on Purim, it's not just a one day thing. No, the purpose of it all is for us to be mekabel upon ourselves the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh on Purim, and to, after that Kabbalah, to continue to be mamshich that the rest of the year, because only through the Hamsha Echios of the Amigos in the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh, that is ultimately going to lead to the Geula Asida, when the Mikdash is ultimately going to be restored. And as the Tzaddik explains, the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh is going to become complete, and we're going to see that the real purpose in this Bria come to its fruition when Amalek's re-eradicated, when Klai Yisrael is Echod, when Hashem is Echod, b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.